Good morning. You can be seated. So Tim's right in line with, the things that we've been talking about. It's been some really good teaching over the last few weeks. How many's been absorbing that teaching, that word, letting it bring forth that new creation? We talked a few weeks ago about the inheritance of the saints in light. How many remember that? So what Tim was talking about was very good there. Those saints of God, it's very interesting seeing their journey, seeing where they came from, what God did for them, and tying it into kind of the corporate vision of what God's doing here in the Chicago church. We've been in a very specific thought. I want to leave you with this kind of closure of thought, if you will. We know it never truly gets closed. It's ongoing. That's the good thing about the Lord. But we want to remind you that this entire work that God is doing, it's grounding us. There's something to becoming that new man and setting our expectations, having our expectation in a place of safety, a place of understanding, a place of wisdom. Not the sensual, devilish wisdom of the earth, but the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Christ, the love and nature of the Father. The sonship among us is being groomed. He's being prepared. He's being raised up from a child to a mature, full stature of a man of God. So when we talk about these things this morning, I want you to put yourself in that place. I want you to understand we're going to visit a couple things, kind of walk through the history of it. But when we're talking about this new man, we've had this expectation that when we become this new man, it's overnight. It's all done. There should be no further thoughts, Tim, of darkness. How many of you came to that? Have never had to deal with a single thought. Once you begin to believe the gospel, you were done, man. You overcame all things. No more enemies, no more trials, no more testings, no more provings, no more anything. You just became the great Son of God. And it didn't happen that way, did it? Our expectation needs to be grounded here. We need to be very sober. God is meticulous, man. He is amazing, if nothing else, in the way he orders things out. And what you want to do is you want to let God bring that word of God into you and let it go deep. You don't want to be hasty in this. You want to take your time with these things. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, you have eternity. Eternity is a long time. I don't know if you've ever thought about eternity, but eternity is a long time. When you're in the man of sin for an eternity, it can feel like a very long time, Julie. But then Isaiah prophesied this great light coming into those places of massive darkness and bringing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul referenced it to the God of this world hath blinded them so that they cannot see that glorious of Jesus Christ. But in this church, guess who has come? Jesus has come. And he has set forth gifts, heavenly gifts, that are working in the Holy Ghost, in the earth, to remind us constantly of who we are in God. Isn't that awesome? He gave gifts unto men. That's your Ephesians 4. We've got those gifts. We have received those gifts of God. We didn't have to take them. God gave them to us. That's very important. But what happens when the gospel of Jesus Christ catches your attention and repentance from dead works begins to work in your thought, in your heart, in your spirit? He begins to change you. The problem sometimes is we have these expectations that end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. Remember, we said God It took God 6 days to work creation. Why would we think it'd be any different when God begins to work that new creature in us? Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Think about it for a minute. Just the first day alone, God said, "Let there be light." And he began to divide the light from the darkness. That means there was darkness there. Didn't Tim just say, "You were once darkness"? How does God change that? He says, "Let there be light. Become the light." Peter, as we were referencing his gospel, talked about the excellent, the majestic glory, that light of God in heaven. Phenomenal. It's actually sometimes so overwhelming when you're in it, Sometimes you don't even see figures because the light, the brightness of the light of the glory of God is so immense and so intense. That's all you can see, Ann, is that glorious light of God. Well, if we are the light, then aren't we that? Or are we becoming that? Because sometimes it's hard for us. We have trouble sometimes thinking that that's who we are. Dan, where was that me in Psalms? Because Dan and I were chatting about the excellent glory. And I think it was over in Psalms, 116? I just want to read it real quick because it was so good. Talks about the saints of God. Let me find it. Wasn't prepared to do that, but
it's in Psalm 16:3.
You remember what we said, right, about the excellent glory, Keith? This is what Dan sent me. Psalm. The saints in the land. Who are they, James? They are the excellent ones. Switch it to ESV, please. Sorry, because I'm going to be in ESV. If I do any scripture reading, it's going to, at least here and in this moment, we're going to do ESV. As for the saints in the land, what land? The land that's in your heart? God set the world in the hearts of the sons of men? Are you a son of man? You ladies are like, I'm not sure about that one. Well, if the woman of God can be in me, the son of God can be in you, and vice versa. So the answer would be yes. So the land is in you. And what did God say? If we would humble ourselves, he would heal what? Our land. Has God been doing this? Has he been healing our land? The saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. You know what makes God happy? That's true. Healing us, Deb said. What else makes God happy? His saints. That's his delight. You know why it's his delight? Because they're his inheritance. You are God's inheritance. I don't know if we really walk around thinking like this. Let me take you back for a minute. You guys remember Israel, right? This is so amazing. I had to go back and really read some things to bring myself into remembrance. The story is so intensive or extensive. But you remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt. Then he brings them to Jordan. And they're getting ready to go into Canaan land. You remember. And there were spies sent out, Julie. Spies. One chief from every tribe. They gathered those spies and they sent them forth into the land of Canaan by the word of the Lord. God said, "You go spy out the land." Moses and Aaron were leading the people. Joshua and Caleb were two of those spies. They went and they looked at this land, and it was amazing. Everything God said. It was everything God said. A land that floweth with milk and honey. But there were enemies there. Massive amounts of enemies. In fact, children of the Nephilim were there. The sons of Anak. Giants. Those spies come back and said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're grasshoppers to them. That we have no power, no strength to go up. Caleb says, that is not so. Let us go up right now and possess the land as God has said. It stirred up such a riot. They wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. You know how angry the Lord got? The Lord told Moses that I'll destroy the whole nation and I'll start over with you. I'll take them all out. You say, that's the kind of God we serve? Well, you got to understand what all that means. And I'm not going to explain all of that to you. I'm just going to tell us what the Word of God says. And yet Joshua and Caleb stood with Moses and the Lord knew it. By the time it was done, everyone, I think it was 12 spies, wasn't it? Two believed, 10 did not. Those 10 died of a plague right off the bat. Then God said to Moses, fine, according to your word, I will not destroy this nation, but understand this. Not a single man over 20 years of age is going to live. I'm going to send you into a wilderness for 40 years, and that generation that has disdained me and not believe what I said, they're going to die in that wilderness. God was about to purge that generation out. We've been through that. You say, my God, what does all that mean? I need you to keep this inward. I want you to think about the thoughts of the old man, the thoughts of unbelief, the thoughts of contradiction, the thoughts of rebellion. You say, rebellion? I got rebellion? Yeah, you know what the word says about rebellion? It says the sin of witchcraft. We got any witches here this morning? Running around casting spells? I definitely can tell you we've had some Simons running around here. Working sorcery. See, you got to understand what God's after. God is after anything that's in opposition and what God has planned for his people. Very graciously had promised his people, Canaan. He said, I'm going to bring you into this land that floweth with milk and honey, and I'm going to give you power and authority to drive out all your enemies. The Canaanites, the Amorites, the Philistines, all of them. The land was encompassed with enemies. But God said, it's my land. My land. Everything God is doing in the work of salvation and restoration is taking back what has always belonged to him. You remember the parable of the tare and the wheat. The sower sowed the good word of God, but an enemy came in while they slept. All you got to do is remember Adam. When God put him to sleep, there were some things that had to be made manifest. We look at some of these things as an indictment, when in actuality, it's a benefit to sonship. God is loving his son. He's loving his bride. He's loving his church. When he reveals the thoughts of these things in us, that's not who you are. I want you to stay with me. I want you to believe what I'm telling you. See, the reason this whole fall, we were talking about the day of the Lord. That day will not come lest there first be a falling away and that man of sin be revealed. When you think about the fall, an enemy did that. We don't have to go into all that this morning, but an enemy lied to you. An enemy deceived you. You should actually be very upset about the truth that an enemy deceived you, a part of you, and caused a part of you to go out and leave the presence of your father. Remember the prodigal son. He went out and wasted his inheritance. We've all done these things. We've all done these things. By the time God gets done, he sends them into the wilderness for 40 years. But here's the wonderful truth of it all. the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, God never left them. The tent of meeting, God never left them. God was always with them. Why? For the generation's sake, for the children's sake, for all of those that brought into that land to possess it, because Moses even made it very plain to the Lord. He said, you cannot destroy this nation, lest Egypt and all these other nations carry out the promise. See, there's one thing going to be. He's never going to be a liar, Keith. He's never going to be always going to do what he said he was going to do. And if you can't look back at our history and see the parables of Israel and how they worked in us, religious spirits worked in us, sin and iniquity worked in us, darkness worked in us. But upon a day, God sent his beloved son as a light into that realm of darkness, and he began to call us out. And he's been with us ever since. And all we are required to do is follow that light. Because as you follow that light, you become that light. Moses couldn't go in because of his sin, his disobedience in striking the rock. But he laid hands on Joshua and imparted the spirit of wisdom into Joshua. And Joshua led them, beginning with Jericho, across into that land. And for about 7 years, they battled. But by the time Joshua died, do you know they had still not overtaken every single enemy? There were still enemies to come. Now, I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. There were still enemies. 7 years. When Joshua died, it went into the time of the judges. If you don't know your Bible, or you don't remember your Bible, I know some of you ladies are doing Bible overviews, which has been awesome, because I've been paying attention to all that and watching that and listening to that, and it's been very good. That's something Daniel put together that the ladies are working, I think, weekly on. Is that right, Naomi? Doing a Bible overview? That's pretty awesome. And so as you go through those judges, you remember Deborah was one. Samson was another. Samuel was the final judge. That was when God desired to be the king of his people. But what happened? They wanted their own king like all the other nations around them. And God said, no, that's not my will. That's not my mind. That's not my heart. I have a question for you this morning. This was a question that I didn't get in my heart to ask you until I was driving to church. What is your heart's desire? Why are you in this thing? What are you after? What drives you? What burns in you? That's what I want to know. That's what God wants to know. And only each and every one of you can answer that. What burns in your heart? Because I'm going to tell you, if you know you're the new man, then what's burning in you is become everything God has ever said he desires you to be. It's for you to be grounded and established and settled and built on a firm foundation. Doctrine overcomes devils. So if you get, grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ, guess what God's going to prepare you for? He's going to prepare you for his second coming, for the day of the Lord. And that man of sin will most definitely be revealed. But you wouldn't want to chase those things until what? How long? Dan, how long did it take for God to establish you and prepare you before you were able to even consider facing the man of sin? You preached for years. I remember when I was first coming back and so forth. You had a class. You preached on foundational stuff for what? 2-3 years? You think he was you. That was God doing that in him, wasn't it, bro? But yet, look at it. Because God did it in the Son, who's getting the benefit of that? Who's getting the benefit of that? The Chicago church is. Actually, the entire ministry is. But specific to this church, that's how God does it. I would encourage you to pay attention to those matters. So those judges, they finally get Saul. And I don't have time to go through all that, but we had three predominant kings to begin with. We had Saul, David, and then Solomon. And then eventually the kingdom is divided between the north and the south. 10 kingdoms in the north, 2 in the south, being Jerusalem and Judah, which is the line of Christ, mind you. Not a single king in the north was good. Imagine this all being in your world, James. Imagine you partaking of all this. Imagine you burning so hot for God that for a solid year, all you want to do is learn about the prophets. And God moves you from Amos to Micah to Isaiah to Ezekiel to Jeremiah. Or maybe there's one that he keeps you in for some period of time. What's he trying to show you, bro? What's he trying to do for you? Is he setting some things in order? It's kind of like you and I sharing certain aspects of the same parable concerning Genesis 6 with the sons of God. Why do you think it was so important for Rick to spend 2 years talking to me specifically about Genesis 6? And I was finally going over and over and in my mind, like, my God, what is he trying to tell me? He won't talk about anything else. Every time we get together, it's Genesis 6. Every time we get together, it's the sons of God. Every time we get together, it's the daughters of the sons of men. What am I missing? Do we ask those kinds of questions? Do we say when things are pre-taught, what am I missing? Or do we find ourselves as Israel being very stubborn, being blinded, having a heart of rebellion? Do you bow the knee easily, or does it come hard? This is quite a way to finish a thought. You say you're stepping on my toes this morning. I hope I'm stepping on every member of the body of that old man, because we want to make sure he's buried deep. Once they got through all of that, it all comes to silence. It's all been said in prophecy. The prophets have said their fill. God has spoken plainly. And now we go through a 400 plus year period. And then suddenly, what do we get? A light in darkness. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. And he begins to preach repentance. He begins to preach the kingdom of God in the kingdom of heaven. And he does it by parable. And he gathers 12 men. One ended up being a devil. But he gathers 12 men and he imparts himself for 3.5 years to them. Teaches them both how to live and how to die. And when he hands over the keys of the kingdom, starting with Peter, because they all got it, man. They all got the revelation of Jesus. He then sent those men into the earth. And what's the scripture say? They turned the world upside down for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. When you go to the book of Revelations, it says very clearly, revelation. I have a thing about that. And look, in the precept, it's true. There's many revelations in the book of Revelation. And you may not get them all at once. But we could sit here and speak in tongues all day long. It wouldn't be much good or profit to you without an interpretation, unless you understood the interpretation of tongues. It'd be better if we prophesied, wouldn't it? So we're doing our best to do more prophecy than speaking in tongues. It's for your benefit. To the ear that has an ear to hear, what do we know is going to happen? I don't need you to catch everything in an hour. I don't need you to hang on every word. I want to know, James, what in you is burning this morning for the things of God? Because if one thing quickens you or provokes you, that's the thing you go after. That's the thing you let God
talk to you about. You may stay in it all week long. When we look at these things, we look at the journey, and why? I ask you, why is there still so much condemnation? Why so much fear? Why? Because light has come into the world, John 3. Because light has come into the world, and because men's deeds are evil. Instead of running to the light, Julie, men go and they hide. They hide. I don't want the light to expose me. I don't want the light to reveal me. You have missed an opportunity. What should we be doing? Running to the light, man. You say, but I'm afraid of how I'm going to appear before men. I'm afraid of how my pastor's going to think of me. Let me tell you something. At this point, I'm not sure how long you've been pastor. Yo, Don Marie, I'm talking to my brother right now. What are you doing? Okay. We're both talking to him. At the same time. Okay. Okay. I feel like I just stepped into the middle of a conversation. But anyway, which is very normal. We're just having fun. Don's okay. Nobody feels sorry for Don. She's or Dan. Don't feel sorry for Dan. I don't forgot what I was going to say now. How long you been pastor? Naomi, how long's night? I said yesterday, you got to go things. That's pretty amazing, James. 20 years ago, I'd have never said such a thing. But when you got a curse working in you in the female aspect of the soul, and then God comes after it because it's time and prophecy to change the heart, then guess what God plans on doing? He's going to change it. And did he change it? Oh, you better believe he changed it. God, he didn't just change it. He made it new. Where's the scripture, Megan? Find me the scripture in Ezekiel. I believe it's 36. This is the one I want to get to. About a year ago, the reason I was talking about that is in 19 years, how much has changed? Everything. I like that answer. Who said that? What do you mean by that, Don?
I think now we have.
I will put you on the mic because, you know.
I think we have a family of people now that are searching for God and not for their own. I think we're a lot closer. We know a lot more. We want to serve God rather than ourselves.
Boy, that's awesome, isn't it? How many of you would agree with that? Now, you go back 20 years. Do you remember? It's hard sometimes to remember. I tell people, like, I don't always remember everything I did bad. Why? Because God burns those things up. That's an old man that's long gone now. It doesn't dwell in the thought. God can take you back to visit it, but it's not there. When God burns it up, it's not there. Does that make sense? Did you find that scripture about the new heart? I will give them a new heart.
If there's like one heart and spirit.
That's 11, right?
Yeah.
36. You can read that one. Do you have a mic?
Yeah.
Read it. Read the one in 11, and then let's go to 36.
All right, so the verse in 11:19, Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them."
So hold on. Going back 20 years, how many remember the divisions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I need some help here, people.
Yes.
Michelle, you're raising your hands. You remember the divisions. Strife. Animosity. This one against that one. This one doing this thing and this one doing this thing and all of those things. You think God's been after that? You think God got it? If there's anything left, you think God's going to get that too? is he calls us to become one heart. What did I tell you about that world? I quoted Rick, but it's in my heart now. It's in Dan's heart now. It's in Keith's heart now. Your world may not be the same as the world in me yet, but God's getting it there. Does that make sense? Because when it's all said and done, your kingdom aside, the kingdom that truly matters is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in his heaven and his earth, boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a glory. What a glory. Could you imagine seeing the throne, the emerald, the lightning, the thunders, the glory, the living creatures, the elders, the saints of God on a sea of glass mingled with fire? Can you imagine those kinds of realms? You say, not yet, but that's all it would be. Not yet. Why? Because the word of God that they in my thought now is very much one. They are working in us, including the saints. Because when you come to a resurrection, those saints come with you. One heart. What was the second thing?
Give a new spirit I will put within them.
A new spirit. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them, James. Do you remember a time when your spirit was different and not in a good way? How many of you can say, I remember a time when my spirit was not in such a good place? But what God's been doing is bringing us into the unity of one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is awesome stuff, man. 36:26. Yep.
And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you.
New heart and a new spirit will I put in you. About a year ago, Dan was preaching. I don't remember exactly right this moment what he was preaching, but it was the word of God. And I went into a vision. I believe I was up in the balcony. I went into a vision and I saw this creature, and I saw the hand of the Lord go in, and he took this heart of stone, just pulled it right out of him, and he put this brand new heart of flesh in him. And you know what? You know what? It wasn't flesh like you are flesh, like you are this physical realm flesh. It was a heart of God's flesh, God's body, and light filled that heart as the Spirit of God entered into it, and it began to move and breathe and have his being. And I knew this is what God is doing in this church. He's creating that. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't see where those kinds of things are coming to pass, very highs. God is fulfilling his word. So like Tim was talking about, Tim, when you get that new heart, it don't matter where you go. God's with you. Somebody could say, you going to church today? Man, I've been in church all week. What you talking about? We are the church. We are the church of the living God. So when you got guys like Moses and you got guys like Aaron, I know Moses messed up. I know Aaron messed up. I know Joshua didn't get it all done. But if you go read Hebrews, why is that? Those were shadows. Those were copies of the true. They were examples of the thing that is eternal. Who set that right? From everything back to Adam, from the mistakes of Moses, from Abraham to Joshua to David to all of them. Who set the thing right? Jesus did. As much as we love and honor our dear departed friend Rick, as much as we love the ministry that we have among us to this day, it was none of us that set this thing right.
Jesus set this thing right. And we are followers of him. And you follow us as we follow Christ. God forbid if any of us cease to follow Christ, don't follow us. But that's not the case. We're following Christ. Another example, Ezekiel. I love this chapter, specifically because of some of the things that, you know, the Lord has been gracious to me in. We got living creatures in that first chapter. It's very interesting about these creatures because they're all tied together. There's this platform with wheels, four wheels, and a throne of God is set upon it, and one like unto the Son of God, and you got four creatures at every corner. And wherever the Spirit moves, they move. They don't turn to the left, they don't turn to the right, they move where God moves. They move in unison, they move together. These cherubim, these living creatures of God, they move and go wherever the Spirit of God leads them. When you see the tent of meeting, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, when it rested, when it stopped, they stopped. They set that tent up, and the house of Levi went to work. And God would settle down upon that mercy seat between the two cherubim carved in wood, covered in gold. And he would talk to the high priest. Once a year, their sins were rolled forward. The point is simple. There was an angel set before them. And that angel was going to always be before their face and guide them in every way. We get into the New Testament and John the Apostle receives the angel of the Lord because Jesus said, I have sent mine angel to signify this revelation given unto me by my Father. And the word of the Lord has sent angels, messengers. That's what the word angel means. Don't need to get too hung up in that. The angel is the messenger. Guess what? Apostles are messengers. Didn't Paul say, you've entreated me as an angel, even as Jesus Christ himself? That's some unity right there, man. That's some oneness right there. Why? Because when you're in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is a servant of God whose heart has been changed. He's not in it for himself anymore. He's in it for the will of God. And he's making all of us that desire to follow partakers. He's baptizing you into his body. Now, if that servant is light and he baptizes you and into his body, what have you now become? You have become light. Now, is there a table? Is there a table in that man of God? Is there a kingdom in that man of God? Are we not going to sit down and sup with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom? A kingdom I give unto you, Jesus said. What am I trying to simply tell you this morning? We are moving and growing and going wherever the Spirit of God is guiding us. We're not trying to depart. We're not trying to go right if he's moving forward. We're not trying to go left if he's going directly this way. We're moving with the Lord. This is what makes separation between how we did it in religion, Daniel, and how we're doing it now following the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is burning within us. The light of Jesus Christ is burning in the temples. Man, we could tell you so many dreams of what God has done just in the last 2 to 3 years. Whatever God did in the first 10 years was amazing. But what God has done since then, my goodness, man. God is very active. So what does this do for you guys? Where's your hope in all this? I'll tell you where it's at. You stay with us. You stay with us in this thing. This is not a message of creature worship. This is a message of learning how to submit to the anointing. You're not just sitting down with a man. You're sitting down with a man who is preaching and teaching and expounding to you
the wisdom and understanding of heavenly things. So now we got Christ. We got Christ on the scene. You say, but Jesus has already come and now the apostles are here. I said, we have Christ on the scene. He imparted himself into those men. What did that make them? It made them Christ. Is that what God's desiring to make you, Megan? A Christ? See, all we gotta let God do is change the heart. And God can do that wherever you are at. Jesus came into that place of darkness that we call Adam. He didn't make Adam come to him. He came to him and he brought heaven with him. And he shone the light of heaven to the sons of God, to the sons of Adam. And he began to impart himself in those that submitted themselves and followed him and were obedient and would adhere to the message of repentance. You know how you know? We already covered this, but you know how you know? You move from Adam to Christ. Who remembers? What are you in Adam? Good and evil. All the time. All the time, James, you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. One day you're evil, one day you're good. That's the old man. That is the old man. Now, here's the discernment. If you were to ask whether it be your pastor, Keith, any of these men of God, even some of our deacons here, man, starting to catch some of these things. If you were to ask them, when they became the new man, did all their enemies just completely dissipate and disappear? Or were there still enemies? When we started out so many years ago, sitting at the table God prepared, it was just this one little orb of light. I say orb because it's like a sphere, a circle. That was it. This was about as much light as there was. And there were two seats at the table. One for me and one for the Lord. And that's where the teaching began. It was in the light. It was not in darkness. Dan brought some very good clarification Wednesday night. It didn't matter the geographics. There were things to learn from those wilderness experiences. I absolutely 100%. The thought I'm simply making plain here is that you don't learn while you're in rebellion. You don't learn while you're surrounded by enemies and you're entertaining enemies. You're entertaining the thoughts of those enemies. You're being disobedient. You're being stubborn. You're being rebellious. Israel, that generation died in the wilderness, man. But yet at the resurrection of Christ, he brought those saints with him. So everyone in Hebrews 11 that died in faith and all of theirs, let's say it that way. It's like looking back there at Keith. You know how big your family is, bro? I think I've told you this before. You got a big family in heaven. A clan, Rick and I would call them. C-L-A-N, a family clan. Don't get mad at me. There's clans there, families there. You ever noticed? Like, if you look at Dan's family, they spend a lot of time together. That's their clan, man. You're very fortunate to get invited into the inner circle of that clan. Everybody's particular like that. You're like, not me. Anybody can come over anytime they want. Not to my house. You come over at 2:00 in the morning, you better be near death. You better be like, help me get ready to meet Jesus. Otherwise, don't you come over at 2:00. Now, my wife, she might be like, that's fine, honey, come on in. I'm going back to bed. That's just being a man. But you got those families and those tie-ins, and those things are important. And you see a lot of that. You look at the McHenry family.
big family. I was in California, and I was on the plane riding to California, and God showed me Merle, your grandmother. And God took me back into her generations, and the prayer that he had put in her heart that her generations would know God. God fulfilled that prayer, bro. He answered that prayer in you guys. Still things coming, still things moving. But look how many members of the family are serving the Lord. We got three of them in deaconship. Three of them. You, and Christy. And an elder's wife. That's amazing. But the generations, I saw at times it would skip generations, Tim, in your family line. Did the same thing in ours. It skipped certain generations, but then it fell on us. Took a little longer for the elder to come around because he was very stubborn. But God got it there. And he's still getting it there. And that's how God does it. God's very faithful. But we got to be willing, don't we? It says if we humble ourselves and we're willing. So you mean there is something required of us. There's something required of us. When we think about this now, it's much bigger than anything that we've ever really thought about prior, because God's enlarged it and he's continuing to do so. Just take a look around, everybody. Is the church growing? I mean, if you just count all the new babies, that by itself. Good Lord, man. We're going to have a larger church in 30 years than we do today just from all the babies if it keeps going down that trend. My question is, who's burning in the right spirit, the right heart, in the heart of the new man to take the reins when this man of God passes from this life? Hope that's not for a very long time, super long time. I want to know who's burning in the heart to settle into this thing and do it for the right reasons. Who's okay if God comes along, James, and says, you know what? I have somewhat against you. I have somewhat against you. We got to talk about the heart. You left your first love to begin with. And you know, you hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, as I also do hate. But you've got some other things working, and we need to have a conversation about that. You know, right then and there, that angel of the Lord could have submitted to Christ and they could have reasoned that out. But what happened? What happened? It didn't happen. It digressed in prophecy until it went to a fall. But guess what God's doing? Even in this lifetime, God is reconciling that brother. He's reconciling that brother in those that have come to those things. Megan, I had a dream about you one time. I'm going from the heavens down into this coastal city. I knew the name of the city. I knew exactly where it was at. I had been there many times before. And you were just a young little child about that, I don't know, that big little girl. Chained to this post. You say, this is the kind of stuff you guys deal with? You better believe it. This is the kind of stuff God's doing behind the scenes that most of you don't know. You're not aware. So when you're talking to the elder of God across the table and he's sharing things with you, it's coming from these kinds of experiences because the Holy Ghost knows exactly what you need. You had been sold into slavery by the merchandisers. They were evil, worthless men. Ships upon ships upon ships of slaves. They were trading slaveries, slaves, little children. And they were doing it in the spirit of merchandising. There were many there that day, but I only come to get one. Just one. And we came, we loosened the chains in a moment. No issues. Never addressed the merchandisers at all. We let them go about their business. We were there to get the one. Brought you into a great place of light. What was the purpose of that, James? Why bring her from there into the place of light? Dan's had dreams like this too. Into this place of light. What was the intent of the Lord? What do you think, Megan? To learn, to be taught. You couldn't be taught in that captivity. But we've had to wait until the timing was right. What would keep us in a captivity like that? Our will, our lust, our desire, James, our desire. You're not much different, bro. In the fact that your desire delayed you quite some time. But when you were ready to bow the knee, what did God begin to do? The first thing you had to do is be obedient to what you were disobedient to. And you had to get your butt. I'm saying it the nice way. I'm not saying it the way Brian said it. Get your butt back to Chicago. Did you do it? Are you here now? You with the Lord now? What has God done already in the first few months since you've been here? I'm not trying to puff you up, bro. I ain't worried about that, and I'll tell you why. We got discerning of spirits around here. These men of God, you get lifted up, don't worry. We got you. You say, what does that mean? You going to get us? No, we're going to get that devil. That's what we're going to get. See, when you sign up for sonship, you sign up for it all, don't you, Timbo? That means reproof, correction, instruction. You are here to learn. You're here to be taught. So in the first few months, God's been after some things. And there's more to come. But could you imagine, bro, walking in that new man with a new heart? No more violence. No more seduction. No more strange woman seducing you, leading you down to hell. Those things come to an end. You see what I'm saying? Where's Brad at? What happens, Brad, when you just bow the knee? When you just submit and you go, God, I'm in this for you and nothing else. And I'm going to do whatever's required of me. And you bow the knee. And God says, finally, let's take that heart of stone, that heart of legalism, Tim, that way of old man thinking, let's remove it and put a new heart in him and make him a new creature. What happens? We begin to see some upcomings of some little Christ running around here. What about all these little devil children running around? What about all the Jesus children? If you commit whoredoms with Jezebel, you have children of death. If you conceive of the seed of Jesus Christ, you have sons of God. That's what we're watching. That's what we're seeing. That's why we preached a few months ago on the woman of God, on the bride of Christ. Because the seed of Jesus Christ is being sown. And we're beginning to see some coming forth. You guys with us? This is my thought here. Wherever you go, a new man walks with the power, the strength, the glory of a new heart. Filled with light, filled with the Holy Ghost. James, you are the tent of meeting. But you become a celestial tent of meeting. And whether you're in the body or out of the body, whether you're in the glories or you're in the earth, which is a glory in and of itself. Difference is most of the time as the apostle, you're in great sufferings. Because you're working, you're enduring. But you're gathering, and imagine those apostles gathering all they've benefited, all they've reaped from their gospel, and they hand it off to the angel, and up he goes, ascending and descending. Up he goes, taking everything you've gathered to the storehouse, because it all belongs to the Father. That's what God's doing for us, guys.